Hello and welcome to a new edition of Full Access Hoops, brought to you by OTG Basketball. I'm Corey Waldron, and with me today is OTG Basketball contributor, Central Division writer, Chicago Bulls writer, a guy I work with in the Central Division, Tyler Yates. Tyler, how's it going?
Doing well. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, of course. Glad to have you on the pod for the first time. Get to actually hear what you sound like. We talk a lot over Twitter and emails, and et cetera. Don't generally get to hear each other's voices, so it's nice to have you on the pod.
Yeah, it's really nice to be here. Glad to finally get the chance to talk to you as well.
For sure. And obviously, you're a Chicago Bulls guy, and the Bulls have had, I don't want to say, not a bad rebuild. They've gotten some nice young pieces. Obviously, last year was a little bit turbulent. You had the midseason mutiny. They ended up trading for Otto Porter Jr. in the middle of the season, and things kind of got better once Lauri Markkanen got back. And then this offseason, right, they draft Coby White, they signed Thaddeus Young. So what are some of your reactions to what the Bulls did this offseason following what happened last year?
Yeah, well, I think as far as young players go, I think you have to be encouraged with what we're offering. I mean, you have Zach LaVine, who arguably could have been an all-star last year, is definitely a big shot maker. You have Lowry, who I think league-wide has earned a lot of respect, at least within people who are paying attention's minds. Wendell, obviously injured, but a lot of potential. So I think when you look at that, you have to be encouraged, but at the same time, you look at their win columns, you see lottery picks basically for the last decade, it seems like. It's hard to be optimistic after so long of struggling, and especially in a market like Chicago where, you know, you have the Cubs just won a World Series recently, the Blackhawks just won the Stanley Cup recently. A lot of excellence around you, and it's tough to have a marquee sport like basketball struggling. But I think with that being said, Gar Pax, the front office duo, has been taking a lot of slack recently. And I think it's not all been warranted. I think you look at this offseason, you see Thaddeus Young coming in. A guy like that coming off your bench is pretty insane. I mean, a guy who contributed for every team he's ever played on. He's basically been starter for the last 10 years of his career. He's going to bring in almost 1,000 games of experience. So bringing him in to bring in that veteran leadership, you bring Satoransky in from the Wizards, who I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he's 6'7".
And yeah, he's a tall point guard.
Oh my gosh, he's huge. And the ability to shoot the ball, pass the ball, play off the ball, most importantly, next to Zach LaVine. And then obviously disappointing, very disappointing lottery for the Bulls once again. But Coby White, I'm actually not too big on him, but again, a lottery pick nonetheless. And again, another year where the Bulls seem like they have some good pieces moving forward. We're just going to have to see how health plays out.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, being an Indiana Pacers guy myself, I can say that Thaddeus Young will be crucial for that locker room. Or maybe not crucial, since they've kind of got the ship right at the end of last year. But it'll definitely add value for the fact that he was kind of known as the captain of these Pacers team the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And like you said, he's durable. He's always out there. Him coming off the bench, he does the little things. A hustle guy, will pretty much guard, actually an underrated defender in terms of who he can guard. So I like the addition of Thaddeus Young. Satoransky, have to see how it works out, because that's one of the intriguing spots for the Bulls right now, is that point guard position.
Right.
You know, the rumors about Chris Dunn possibly being traded. You mentioned you're not too high on Coby White. You know, what do you think about this point guard situation? Is there one guy right now above the others in your mind?
Oh, I think it's a clear Satoransky race right now. I think, again, Chris Dunn is a guy that the front office has basically said they don't believe in him. The city hasn't really gotten behind him. I think he's been dealt like an unfair deck of cards. I think he was asked to immediately come in and be a starter, and he's a lottery pick. You're going to come like change this team. And you just can't put those expectations on people who aren't that good. You know, maybe if he's a top three pick and he has all the promise in the world. And I think Coby White, luckily, isn't in the same position, but I think he's a very similar prospect. I think they're prospects that are going to take a lot of time to turn into somebody who's going to contribute on a good NBA team. So I think when you think of Chris Dunn coming off the bench, I think that's super promising. You have a guy who can facilitate, who can pass the ball, who can defend. He can play. He can't really play off the ball super well, but he has the ability to hit open shots. Certainly not the biggest strength of his, but he's a well-rounded player, especially what you can get from him defensively and passing the ball with the second unit. I think he's a really good backup in the league in terms of backups. So when you do put him in the role that I think he was always designed to be in, I think he's a good player. So with those things being said, and in my head, Kobe White being a long-term prospect, long-term project, I think Satoransky is going to be the clear guy. Got the opportunity to start when John Wall got hurt, stepped in, did well. I think it was 10-6. I can fact check myself on that, but a 10-6 guy shot from three well, and obviously is incredibly long and would be able to take defensive burdens off of Zach LaVine in the backcourt.
Yeah, that'd be an intriguing guy. Chris Dunn's a guy I've always been somewhat high on. If I'm recalling correctly, he had a decent start to his tenure with Chicago, right? But then he got hurt.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of been the story of every single prospect that's come onto the Bulls, it seems like. I believe he was drafted, I know top 10, but I'm not 100% sure. Almost want to say seven.
At Jimmy Butler, Minnesota deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's right. So he came over there, and then he only played 52 games that first season with the Bulls, and then even last season, he only played 46 games. So he's been one of the other injury-prone guys on the roster.
Now, obviously, I've been doing, it almost feels like I'm doing a rebuilding team pod based on the fact that last couple guys I've had on, all of them are coming from rebuilding teams. Mm-hmm. Now, the Chicago Bulls obviously are one of those rebuilding teams. They do have a decent young nucleus in place right now.
Yeah.
Who do you think of this team is set to take a step forward? What are the guys that you're really looking to take that next jump?
Yeah, well, I think that you can't ask too much more of Zach LaVine, in my opinion. He's a guy who can score the ball. He can score. He can shoot kind of in waves of consistency. And he's obviously incredibly athletic. I think he came into the league being known as a dunker. But then I go to the games and I see him making huge shots against Phoenix. And I know he made huge shots against your Pacers as well.
Yeah.
Throughout just very small pockets of evidence that he's pretty much, I think, about where his peak is. I don't think with his skill set he's going to go too much higher. But at the same time, I don't think we need to ask him to go too much higher. I think he's contributed at a good level. It really comes down to health, because I think Lowry is kind of the obvious guy moving forward. I mean, a seven-footer who can shoot, who can run in transition. His defense definitely needs to grow. He needs to put on a little bit more size. But I think last year you did start to see that. I mean, you look at the highlights where, like, he's dunking on Nikola Vucevic and everybody kind of drops their jaw, and you don't really think of Lowry as kind of a Giannis type dunker or post player. But I think as he continues to grow and mature his physique, I think he has a ton of potential to do those things. But again, with anybody on the roster, you just have to take health into consideration.
No, of course, health has been definitely an issue for the Bulls in particular with these young guys, as you've mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, the head coaching change that occurred midway through last year with Hoiberg being fired. And is it Boylan or Bolin?
Boylan, yep.
Boylan. So what are your thoughts on Boylan moving forward as the guy? Obviously, one of the Coach Popovich's string of guys, I believe, definitely hard-nosed, definitely had a no-tolerance-for-bullshit mentality when he took over. Mm-hmm. Is this the right guy for the job?
Well, I don't have a yes or no for you. I have some pros and some cons. And I think a big pro is he can be a guy to change the culture going forward. You really get worried when your franchise stakeholders don't really know what winning in the NBA looks like. Lowry doesn't know what winning looks like. Wendell doesn't know what winning looks like. Chris Dunn doesn't know what winning looks like. Even Zach LaVine doesn't even know what winning looks like. That's a really scary sign, because that becomes the normal for them. And you have to worry about where their head's at going into the season. Are they just, oh, contract year, I got to go hard again? Or are they actually caring about winning? You know, you have to wonder where their head's at. And Jim Boylan's a guy who I can definitely see getting rid of good prospects at the expense of finally getting in some good culture. So I definitely like it. And I think when you bring in Thad Young to kind of pair that mentality, it's definitely going to be a good culture year for the Bulls. And I think besides health, that's going to be the most important thing, is just starting to win games. I think there's no more, oh, hopefully get a good draft pick and they can rebuild our team. I think it's, no, we have to just start developing a culture where winning is expected and winning is the only thing that matters. And obviously that hasn't even been a possibility to achieve these last few years. So I think he's going to come in and really set that as a standard. So those things all being positive, he can help. We were one of the worst defensive teams last year. He can help with our defense. The problem is he going to institute a system that can be proficient in the current NBA? And he says he's willing to do that, but you really can't ask a zebra to change his stripes. So I have some questions about that.
So now you set me up for the perfect segue. With all that in consideration, what do you expect from the Chicago Bulls as a whole as we enter this new season? Where do they sit in the Eastern Conference?
Definitely out of the playoffs, unfortunately. As much as I would like to be optimistic, I would, if you're talking about young teams in the East that can push for the playoffs, I would be big on the Hawks. My hot take article that I'll start working on after I finish another Bulls article will be, I think Trae Young will be the next guard to win an MVP. So there's a little hot take for you. So I think if you're talking about a hopeful young team to win in the East or make the playoffs, I think it's going to be the Hawks. I think the best case for the Bulls is if we can get in that mid 30 win range, which would obviously be tremendously better than what happened last year. And I think it's just a year to step to the next level, which I think the year after you start to think about playoff race, the year after the way that our cap is arranged right now, that's kind of the free agent. And then you hope after that, then your championship. So I think that's the 3-year plan that the front office is looking at least from the outside. That's what it appears to me.
Yeah, I mean, what I really like about the Chicago Bulls to this point is, I mean, I have no worries really about the offense. If this team can stay healthy, they're going to score a lot of points. But as you mentioned, with some of these guys having defensive issues, the defense will probably be the issue for this team. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they averaged, you know, 110 points per game, but they're giving up like 112. So I just want to touch more on the Otto Porter Jr. Where does he fit in now? Is this a guy you're looking to be much more than he was in Washington? Or is this just what he was in Washington is what he is going to be in Chicago? Like, what do you expect from Otto Porter Jr. as he kind of takes on a bigger role?
Yeah, well, definitely a guy who can also contribute defensively. So that's the first thing to look at. And when you think of culture and you think of things changing, but when you look at his, granted, he played 15 games in Chicago. But if I can hype up anything, I would definitely.
He had a killer stretch, right? Didn't he have like high scoring games, right? Like 30 plus a couple of times.
Yeah, he absolutely did. So here are his averages for those 15 games. He was 17.5 points per game. He had, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, not really a strong shoot, but he shot 48% from 3, also 48% from the field. So when you look at just scoring, and you know that when you think of on-ball defense, it doesn't always turn into steals. I mean, he did average 1.2 steals when he was with us the 15 games, but you know he's contributing on the defensive side. If he's making 48%, which is like absurd, 48% from 3, 17 points per game, I think that's the perfect role-playing wing. The problem is, you look at today's NBA, you look at the best teams, you look at LeBron, Kawhi, Paul George, all those guys are wings. So you need a dominant wing. And I think he fits perfectly into literally any team in the NBA just because of what he can contribute on both sides and his ability to make perimeter shots. So I am perfectly content on what he's giving us right now. The only question is, do we need a small forward who's a little bit more dominant, or can we really ask Lowry to be that not really wing player, but just that guy who can take over like that? I don't know, because I don't think we're going to see, besides maybe James Harden, we're not going to see a backcourt-centered championship team.
Right. Now, I want to broaden this up a little bit to around the NBA, because, of course, this offseason was just bonkers. I mean, yeah. The amount of superstars changing teams, the amount of players changing teams, Kevin Durant getting hurt, Klay Thompson getting hurt, Kawhi leaving, it just made the NBA wide open. What are some teams around the league that have you intrigued as we enter the new year?
Yeah, I mean, I already kind of alluded to it. I am super big on the Hawks. I'm probably more optimistic about Cam Reddish than most people are. And obviously, they were able to take him, which I think is a really good pick for them, just because worst case scenario, he flops, but whatever. It was the 10th pick or maybe the 8th pick. Or no, it was the 10th pick because they trade their 8th pick to go up and get DeAndre Hunter. So you get Cam Reddish, a guy with kind of unlimited potential, but maybe a very, very low floor. So I think that's kind of the perfect pick for them. They got their safe pick in with DeAndre Hunter, which I wasn't particularly a big fan of. But then you have Trae Young, who I don't think I could possibly be bigger on him. And then you have Kevin Huerter, who's just an amazing shooter, a guy who can be a role player going forward. Obviously, John Collins, Jabari Parker coming off the bench. I think they're deep as well as possibly star-driven with guys like John Collins and Trae Young and potentially maybe Cam Reddish, and then just the really unlimited amounts of solid role players I think they'll have in DeAndre Hunter, Kevin Huerter, Jabari Parker. I mean, Allen Crabbe. You can really go on and on about what they're offering right now. That's one team I'm really excited about. And I think outside of just being excited that the Lakers are good, I think people will just are quickly forgetting how good Anthony Davis is. I'm a big proponent that I believe Anthony Davis is like better than Giannis, which is so hard for people to even consider with Giannis coming off his MVP season. But when you look at overall game and how much more ability Anthony Davis has to stretch out the floor, and I think it's probably a wash defensively. But when you look at Anthony Davis's versatility, people are forgetting so quickly how good he is. And then foolishly, everybody's forgetting that the Warriors are just as monstrous as they were years ago. And they're bringing in D'Angelo Russell to either flip for more of a front court depth or just keeping to have another guy. You could even put Clay at the three if you needed to. And I think they're very silly for people counting them out. So I think it'll be exciting to see them prove everybody wrong and watch Steph just be able to do his thing while Clay's out.
Definitely. Now, you mentioned some teams. Are there any players aside from the guys you mentioned on their teams that you're interested in?
On the Hawks and the Warriors?
Or just outside of that? Everything combined for those couple teams?
Yeah, I think just being a Bulls guy, Satoransky will definitely be one. I think he only had half of an off season or half of a full starting season role last year. I think Bradley Beal will be a fun guy to watch and kind of see what happens with him. I am praying that they will just trade him so he can go to a relevant team, but I know that they're not really planning to do that. I think they're going to stay pat with John Wall coming back in 7 years or whatever and see what they can pull off. But Yeah, I mean, those are all guys that I'm excited for. If you were to ask me that question before I went on my Trae Young rant, I definitely would have brought him up because I seriously could not be more high on the guy.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a guy the Bulls should be looking forward to now giving a bigger role. Tyler, before we get on out of here, what are some of your final thoughts?
I think that as I look at the scope of the NBA, and I think it's starting to become a more prevalent topic of discussion, I'm just really excited for kind of a duo era to resume and for everything to be a toss-up. And I just think a lot of people are being very narrow-minded to what they just recently saw with Kawhi Leonard leading the Raptors to the finals. And I think people are forgetting how good even LeBron James is and Anthony Davis. And then when you go east, you're forgetting that the 76ers were literally a shot away from potentially beating the champions and how good they're going to be bringing in Al Horford. And there's just so many things going on. And I think that a lot of people will be surprised, and I'll kind of be scratching my head like, well, why did you count all of these teams out in the beginning, or why did you have all of these questions about these people? So it'll definitely be an interesting year to see how expectations are upheld, and then how some expectations will just be shattered. So I think it'll be a really interesting year, and I can't wait to write about it and talk about it and just get to witness this, because I think in terms of the last several decades, this will be a very, very interesting and potentially even NBA shifting year, just depending on the results of it and how everything goes. So I'm just super excited. I think it will be entertaining to watch, and I think a lot of people will be surprised.
I mean, the buzz going into this year is it feels higher than years past. And I think, as you mentioned, it's an age of duos becoming. The league is wide open. There's like six teams I can see winning a title right now. Obviously, that can either get shorter or more teams can grow into that mix as the season goes on. But certainly going to be a fun year. Certainly look forward to the content you're going to produce for OTG. Certainly look forward to having you on this podcast again in the future. Now, Tyler, where can the people find you, and what other content do you want to plug? Because I know recently you started a new project.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've been making 2K rebuild videos on my YouTube, which is just everything that I do is just Tyler Yates, not crazy creative with stage names or anything. So Tyler Yates on YouTube would probably be the biggest one, followed by Tyler Yates on Instagram. I'm least active on Twitter, but in terms of actual content, when I do post on Twitter, I try to be as either surprising or accurate or data-driven as possible. So that's also a good opportunity, and that's where a bulk of my off-the-glass content comes in too.
For sure. So be sure to check out Tyler Yates. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at KWALHoops. That's K-W-A-L Hoops. Be sure to follow the brand on iTunes, Block Talk Radio, Instagram, Twitter at Full Access Hoops. And of course, check out otgbasketball.com for the latest and greatest up and coming content around the NBA. We're currently running a hot take marathon. You heard Tyler is going to have a Trae Young hot take eventually in the mix. Be sure to check out that. And also go to dsgntree.com/otgbasketball if you want to grab some merch. We have shirts. We have Antetokounmpo shirts, Kawhi Leonard shirts, and much more. Until next time, peace out, knuckleheads.